Well, as we introduce our speaker, I was thinking of what to say, and I think if there's one word I could use to describe her, that word is kind. She's very sweet, has such a sweet spirit about her, very loving, good example in every way. So we're going to ask Sister Ruby Bush if she'd come at this time.
And there was going to be about 10 specials, so I wouldn't have a whole lot of time. But Sister Sherry asked me a week or so ago about sharing the calling, and I guess that's what you all have been studying on. And first of all, I'm thankful for every one of you here. It's just a real joy to see all of you young people here. We appreciate the young people. You know, doing the work that Dave and I did, we could not have done it without the young people. And I really, really, really appreciate it. Appreciate your faithfulness. You know, I would especially Brother James Presley, he usually would scare the willies out of me. We were moving some mattresses in the dorm one time. I'm going to tell on him. And I told him to help me lift the mattress so we could put a mattress cover on. And I come back with the mattress cover, and I'm mumbling to myself, he must have got called away. He's not even in here, you know? And so I'm going to proceed to take care of this mattress. He crawled under the bed to scare me. I think I slapped him. Did I? I think I did. But I just enjoy, I enjoy working with the Lord. I enjoy working for the Lord. You know, I wasn't raised, and I didn't have the privilege you all had. I wasn't raised here, you know. A little background, and I'm sure you've heard my testimony. A divorced family, an alcoholic father. But God, in his wisdom and mercy, provided a stepdad that was awesome. And he just helped us every step of the way. He married my mother with a family of five. He was quite a bit younger than my mom, and he provided for us. He loved us, and God was looking out for our little family. First of all, I'm going to pray. Father, you see how nervous I am, Lord. You see what thoughts I want to get across to your Father, that the joy of the Lord is the most blessed thing, dear Father, that if you get involved and you get behind the work of the Lord, that your life is blessed, and we thank you for that blessing. We thank you for the day you seem fit to save us, dear God, and we ask you to bless these young people, dear God. Help them to plant their feet. Help them to plant deep and get the rock, Lord, and get involved in the work of the Lord. We have a harvest out there that is ready, dear God. So we ask you just to help each and every one of them. Help my feeble words, dear God. Lord, I'm a talker, but I'm not a speaker, Lord. So we just ask you to add to, dear God, what you can, and we'll thank you for it all. Amen. Sister Sherry kind of give us a little bit of a guideline to go by, and some of the things she want me to consider is, looking back, in what ways do you now understand God was preparing you for the call? How did you receive the call? How and when did you know it was God's will for you? How did you grow in your call? Could you share some experiences along the way as your call was developed? And have you found that there have been multiple calls in your life? And I think probably the first and most important call was when Jesus saved me. You know, Dave was raised in the church, but we were far, far away. And it just was not working. As a young family with a baby, it was not working. And God, in his mercy, looked down. So that was my first call, you know. And first of all, what does it mean to be called or a calling? It calls us to a particular task or a particular ministry or a career. And it's also a call when we hear the message that Brother Decker brings across or the, many of these ministry. And my first calling was, as I said, salvation. You know, I was pretty heathen. I did not know anything. Church of God, I didn't know anything about being a Christian. And so it was a big learning process for me. As I said, I wasn't raised here. My parents were good parents, but they were worldly parents. And as I said, my stepdad was a godsend. He was a godsend for our family. A little background. As a young girl, loved reading. I could pick up a history book and read it front to back. I could pick up, I didn't like science, but anything history involved, I was just an avid reader. In high school, I started taking college prep courses and enjoyed it. I was fairly good in school. My mom informed me that was not the path that I was taking. So I switched to budgeting, cooking, sewing, and domesticated, I guess, things. So I graduated in 1971, long, long time ago. And I went to work for DCSE in Columbus. And in September of 71, I met my husband. And even though he was not saved, there was something different about him. He was kind. He treated me like a lady. He had that foundation that even though he wasn't saved, it stuck with him. And we dated for a year, got married in September of 72. And as I met Dave's family, they were very, very involved in the work. Dave's dad was a Sunday school teacher. They cleaned restrooms. They were a bus captain and in the bus ministry. And so my first introduction, I guess, was you get in the work. Brother Wilson encouraged us, you know, get in the work. So I got saved in January of 75, and Dave got saved before I did in November of 74. So that June of 75, I signed up to work. Well, I wanted to work in the lunch stand, but I put the pop stand. Now, you children do not remember, but some of the older ones do. The pop stand is actually where the print shop is. And you would get your sandwiches at the lunch stand, and then you would come down to the pop stand to get your drink. So I started there, and then I moved to the lunch stand and cleaning bathrooms. I was able to take my son with me. I worked at the Trumpeter when it was down on 6th and Locust. I helped there, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Loved working with the saints. I'm a people person. As I say, I'm a talker. I'm not a speaker. So there's a little bit of difference there, and I use my hands. So how, as I say, Brother Wilson encouraged us, get involved. Get involved with the work. So the job, as I say, was the pop stand. Cleaning the restrooms, I worked in the lunch stand. Then in 1981, Brother Wilson asked Dave and I to take over the lodging department. And at this time, I had three children. And it was a perfect job. You know, I could keep my children in there with all the sheets and everything and interact with people. And it was just a little stepping stone. You know what I mean? It was just one little thing, you know, that was just a little bit more than cleaning those bathrooms. You know what I mean? Now you have to stock those bathrooms, and now you have to take care of the rooms, and now you have to assign rooms for people coming in. And you learn to deal with different personalities. And it was all a learning curve, you know, for me. Back then, we filled every dorm on the grounds. Now, you know, some of the grounds down here on the left as you go down are storage now. But back in the early years, those dorms were full. And I mean, somebody would leave and we would have to run down and clean that room because somebody was coming in for that room. And it was 10-day camp meetings. We started on a Friday night and you went through the following Sunday. So it was a little bit more. But I was able to introduce my children to the work. I think that is so important. You know what I mean? Get those children involved in the little things. They can carry the restroom caddy for you. You know what I mean? I always wanted to portray that there was joy in working for the Lord. I don't think I ever said, oh, I have to clean bathrooms, or I have to go clean that room. You know what I mean? It was a privilege. You know, Brother Wilson had confidence in us as we were new. I mean, we were fairly young Christians. And first of all, I didn't want to disappoint my pastor, but I didn't want to disappoint the Lord. So that obedience is crucial when he asks you to do something. Obey. It could be the littlest thing. Obey. And then God sees, well, she took care of this, so I'm going to add a little more. As I said, I'm a people person. And so when God called me to that position, I was still able to take care of my children. You know what I mean? You know, we end up having 8 children total. So, you know, I was able to have the children there, take care of them, and still fulfill the work that I felt God had called me to. So what I'm showing you is it step by step. You know what I mean? He didn't ask me to be the caretaker when I was a newborn babe, because it would have been overwhelming. But he asked me to clean the bathrooms. Then he asked me to take care of lodging. And then the caretakers at that time asked me that when the evangelists come in, if I would get the rooms ready and if I would stock the cleaning rooms. You know what I mean? Just a little bit more responsibility. But it was still, I was able to bring my children with me. And those years helped me to grow. It helped me to learn how to deal with different personalities. You know, we're all different. If you don't know, you know, it'd be nice if everybody was like me, but sometimes they're not. I'm just kidding. Okay. There's different personalities. And you know what? God likes variety. So in saying that, it just taught me how to maybe understand somebody's want for a certain room. You know what I mean? Maybe they had a physical condition. You know what I mean? And it just taught me to have a little more compassion. And it taught me discernment. You know, sometimes when people come from out of town, we don't really know them. And sometimes God will just say, okay, this one, you know, or this one's a saint and, you know, we need to work with them, bring them along. Then in 1997, the caretaker's job became open. And Brother Decker called Dave and I in and said that the Lord had laid on his heart that Dave and I to take over that caretaker's job. And David already had the burden for it, but I was not clear. You know, we had a home and we were clear out in the country, and nobody just stopped out there on the way to the grocery, you know what I mean, to stop at our and visit our house. We were way out in the country, and you know, we lived on 20 acres and I had my little family there, and you know, they could ride their four-wheelers and their bikes, and then to move clear to town where you have people coming and going all the time. I had an 18-year-old. I had a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old. It was not only me taking this position, right. It was them. Yeah. And so we talked with the children, you know, and I still wasn't clear. I just didn't feel it, because I knew there would be troubles. You know, you can't step out for the Lord without there being some issues and some problems and some troubles. And I needed a foundation that when I was shook a little bit, that I could hold on to. So Brother Decker gave us a couple weeks, and he called us in, and he asked me, what is your concern? And I said, Brother Decker, the caretakers before us were perfect. They'd done everything beautiful. I have 7 children. I don't know that I can do that. I don't know that I can be like that. And his words of wisdom was, God didn't call me to be Sister So-and-so. He called me to be Sister Bush. I tell you what, that was a load off of me. Because when you have a large family, you know what I mean? You're busy. You're very, very busy. And I've always canned, you know, and there was that aspect because of summer times being so busy with camp meetings. And it was not only me being dedicated, I was bringing my whole family into that dedication, into that calling. So we did sit down with the children. And at that time, Sean was our oldest. And he said, Mom, we're going where you go. And the rest of them was the same way. You know, we were going to have to change school systems from a country school to a city school. Just lots of situations that I hadn't faced before. But when Brother Decker brought those words, it was like a peace come over. And I was able to take that calling. We're all individually different. You do things differently than I do. Not that mine's right and yours is wrong. We do it different. And when God calls us, he calls us all individually. Now it's up to us to heed that call. First, he wants to see if you're willing. Sometimes he asks you to do things. I think somebody just preached this. He was just seeing if he was willing, because it didn't come to pass. And then he's going to see if you're going to sacrifice more time. Because as your callings grow, it requires more time. It requires more sacrifice. It requires more unselfishness. And each step of that calling is important. God calls to see if you're willing. Okay? You got to have a willing heart. Are you willing to sacrifice more time? And are you going to obey? And I didn't put the fourth one down here, but then are you going to be faithful in that calling? You know, no matter what we do for the Lord, the devil is going to fight us. Can I say that I never made a mistake? No. I wouldn't have enough paper in the world because I made lots of mistakes. But you know what? They were learning mistakes. They were saying, God would say, okay, now you shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have said that. Go back. And it was a growing time. You know what I mean? Because when sometimes dealing with multiple personalities, it's like sometimes the flesh wants to raise up. And then you've got to remember, we're a host congregation. Brother Decker has stressed that. We're a host congregation. We give them our best. We show them love. We show them concern. But if I hadn't have been faithful, first of all, in getting saved, it would have never happened. My children, my grandchildren probably wouldn't be here. But it was that first calling. He called me to salvation. And then get into the work. I've seen multiple times families come in, but they just sit. They don't get their children involved. They don't get involved. They just sit. And sometimes when you sit, that devil can sit on your shoulder. He'll say, well, look how they handled that. And look what they did over there. And look over here. So you get your eyes off Christ. You get your eyes off the work. And you get it on people. We can't do that. But if you're busy, and I'm not saying busyness is salvation. It is not. But works will come. Works will come. When you get saved, it's just in that newborn babe to testify, to get involved, to be that helper. You know, there's a gift of helps. And sometimes that is one of the biggest gifts. I had, when we were cleaning the church here, I had multiple young people that were phenomenal. We could not have done it if it wasn't for the young people. And you know what? You could depend on them. Every service, every Sunday. And if they couldn't be there, they were out of town or something, Sister Bush, we're not going to be there. That calling, as small as it was, is part of the church. We're building it up. And we each are a stone in this building. And if we have two or three stones that don't get in, what does that do? Eventually, it's going to fall. So each of us have to take that responsibility. We have to take what God shows us. And as I said, it may be working in the dining hall. It may be helping Sister Nanette. You know, she's got a multitude of jobs. You see her carrying a box. Sister Nanette, can I do that? Just doing what you can. He won't call. As I say, he didn't call me first to be caretaker. No. I started in the bathrooms. Was it a pleasant job? Not always. But somebody has to do it. Somebody has to do it. I mean, could you imagine if nobody cleaned the bathrooms? Yeah. So it's a small part, but it's a very, very important part. And so as God called, he had to see a willingness. He had to see, are you going to sacrifice? And he had to see if you'd obey that calling. So what I want to get to all of you is, what I hope to portray to you is that God doesn't call you to be that massive, huge job. He prepares you by saying, I want you to do this. Then you obey. Then he says, I want you to do this. And then you take that step and you do it. He sees willingness. He sees trusting that God will provide and obedience. Because see, what God calls you to, he'll provide the grace, the strength, and the help. You know, as Dave and I got a little older, you know, we got moving a little slower. You know, I used to love to push mow my lawn. I didn't want those boys in that tractor on my grass. So I would push mow that lawn. Well, you know, after about 15 years, hey boys, bring that tractor up here, would you? I couldn't do it anymore. The strength was waning. Not that I'm old, but I'm getting there. In the Evening Light book, I'm not singing, trust me. But in the Evening Light, God's way is best. Listen to these words. God's way is best if human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. 'Tis only that our earth dim vision the truth can never clearly know. Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I should go astray, and wander far away in darkness, nor reach the land of endless stay. He leadeth true, I will not question, though through the valley I should go, though I should pass through clouds of trial, and drink that cup of human woe. God's way is best. Heart cease thy struggling. And sometimes we cause a little bit of more stress, as I've testified, I'm a worrier and a fretter, you know. Camp meeting time comes around, I could not sleep, you know. Just, did I get everything done? Did I get everything done? You know? But sometimes our heart's just like over anxious. And it's, God's way is best. Lay it at his door. I'm still learning. He's still working on me. It says, God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into his hand. Thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me, and safe to glory bring my soul. God's way is best, I will not murmur, although the end I may not see. Where'er he leads, I'll meekly follow. God's way is best for me. So I guess I hope I can portray is, get involved. You know, your first calling, Jesus calls you to salvation. And then get involved. You know, some of us are getting a little older, you know, and we're moving a little slower. And we can hold you up in our prayers, but we're going to need you all to step up, to take the burden, to take the call. You know, sometimes it's not an audible voice. Sometimes it's the pastor asking you to do something. Sometimes it's a Sunday school teacher asking you to do something. Sister Sherry, the young people's leader, you know, they ask you to step up, to do your part, to be a building block, that our callings can complement each other. You know what I mean? God would never call me to be a choir director, okay? He never would do that because he knows I'm not capable. I know when the notes go up and the notes go down, but I don't know anything else because I can see it on the paper. But he uses your talents, your gifts, he equips you, and then actually he helps you grow in that gift. So I hope I was a help. God's calling is the best life. It is pure joy. I always wanted my children to see. I love the work of the Lord. I loved it. I love the saints. I love doing my part. Now, as I'm getting a little older and moving a little slower, I still have a part. I got to be faithful. I can't just sit back on what I've done 20 years. I've got to keep moving forward. Thank you all for being very attentive.
Amen. Very good. Well, we appreciate Sister Bush bringing her thoughts tonight and her testimony. I thought, you know, she said, you know, God's way is best, and that's true. And I thought, you know, it's interesting. She said she still has to be faithful. It's not that, you know, once you're in one job, you know, you just have to hang it up. But my mind went to page 238, or song 238 in the Evening Light. It says, I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoe'er my lot may be, where thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee. And you know, that's progressive. You have to keep going at it until you reach the end. So, and if you haven't made that first answer, the first call to salvation this week, you will get a chance. I guarantee you that. So